The Burt Show.
I love on the schedule looking down and seeing somebody on this show is about to be called out with the very first second of the morning show. All right, Cassie, go at it.
The South has been served an injustice and it must be corrected because our own Tomothy over here, producer Tommy.
Tomothy.
Posted something on Instagram that had me clutching my fake Etsy pearls. It is unacceptable.
And
okay?
I stand by every word I type.
I read to you verbatim from what was posted 7 days ago exactly. Just tried a boiled peanut for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That alone. Sir, how long have you been in the South?
All my life.
Uh-huh. Okay. And you've never tried a boiled peanut? Your Southerner card is revoked.
Never tried it or never tried to make his own?
Never. Never tried it.
Never tried it. Okay. Okay.
Just tried a boiled peanut for the first time. Not a fan. Anybody want them? And I take offense to that. How do you not like boiled peanuts?
Because they're disgusting.
What? Gross.
First my mom dies, and now you start turncoat? Are you serious right now, bro?
You're putting these in the same category. It's that much of an offense.
Are you kidding? Am I the only one? Every time I go on any road trip anywhere around the South, if I see them selling boiled peanuts, you gotta say bowl. You can't say boil.
Right.
It's a boiled peanuts out of some weird witch cauldron on the side of the road in a hand-painted farm stand. My butt's pulling over because those are the best. Oh my God. The shell is soft.
Stuff that you have been going through over the course of the last couple of years, there's nothing I want more than to be able to come in here and support you in every angle of your life right now. But in this one, I can't do
it. This is where you draw the line in the sand of our friendship.
Not if I want to be authentic. No, boiled peanuts kind of suck.
Yeah. Well, now we know why you have all this bad luck. You've been stopping on the side of the road, seeing all these witches. Get some boiled peanuts.
Yeah, they reek and they don't taste
good. They reek. Oh, the shells are soft. And then when you bite into it, it's like a little juicy, salty explosion.
We don't say that on air.
Yeah, we do. Juicy, salty explosion. Of all people, Abby, I thought you and your books would like that one.
Speaking of explosions, I think where I bought my peanuts, a house exploded. I don't know if it was a meth lab or what was going on.
Okay.
But it's been on this corner, and this dude, this young guy, he's like a teenager, and he's out there with his red truck, and he's got his boiled peanut sign up, and he sits out there with a table, and it's a pretty high traffic intersection for being a rural area. And I've been driving by this guy a million times, and I'm like, you know what? Today's the day. Today's the day I am going to try boiled peanuts.
Bold.
And I said, I'm going to try one. And I try. At first, they don't look very appetizing.
They do not.
At all.
They look very, even in the shell, they look slimy.
They look like little slugs.
Yes. So I'm just like, well, maybe they're like nice and salty and, you know, just melt in your mouth. Like they do the chewing for me. They're so soft. I don't even have to chew. Just enjoy the taste. I did not enjoy the taste. It was like eating black-eyed peas, which I also don't like.
I mean, Cassie, everything we know about Tommy, for him to come in here and say there's any food group he doesn't like, I think there's credibility in it.
If there were Mountain Dew-flavored boiled peanuts, would you like them?
That'd only help them.
You got to eat them the right way, too. You got to do it like a crawfish. So you kind of crack the shell with your teeth, and then you have to suck on it. I know, that sounds gross, but you have to suck the liquid out. That is the good part. And then the peanuts inside, whatever. But, like, they're so good, Chad has to take the bag away from me because my lips will be all puckered and shriveled from the salt, and he's like, you're cut off.
You do whatever you want. The only thing I will support you on here is I'm a little surprised by Tommy never trying them up until today. Considering, I mean, if you listen to this show, if you were going to pick out the one Southerner on this show based on accent, it's Tommy. Yeah. So the fact that you haven't tried it at all in your life, that's surprising.
Yeah, I got the accent. I love NASCAR and I love Buc-ee's.
Well, you know what? Thank you for letting me express my outrage. You're all wrong. But what I would like to ask is on our Facebook page, we'll post this video. If you know where the good boiled peanuts are, especially in the Atlanta area, drop the location because I will find one that this man will like.
Sounds like we're going to steer clear.
Yeah. Sounds like it's an oxymoron. The good boiled peanuts.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
This is the kind of clip you see on the internet. You go, That's my worst nightmare. That is literally my worst nightmare because I saw a clip from an Australian radio show out of Adelaide, and they were doing a celebrity interview with country music star Keith Urban. And if you don't know, Keith Urban is married to A-list actress Nicole Kidman. And I feel like Nicole Kidman has been in literally everything. She has been in a new movie trailer like every six weeks or so. That woman is putting in the work. I don't know if she's got bills to pay, if she's in debt, but she is out there in the streets working the movie circuit. So during this interview, they asked him a very salacious question about his wife, and he hung up.
The first thing I thought of with your beautiful wife, Nicole Kidman, being on so many great movies, TV shows all the time. I watched a movie with her and Zac Efron recently, Family Affair, and I thought,
that's a good one.
What does Keith Urban think when he sees his beautiful wife with beautiful younger men like Zac Efron having these beautiful love scenes on TV and radio? Oh, why has that happened? What's just happened to you?
He's disconnected from Zoom.
Did he just hang up on us?
I think his team hung up on us because they didn't want us to ask that question.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 100%
what's happened. Were we told not to ask that?
No.
That's He's what's gone. Happened.
He's
oh my
gone.
God.
Oh.
So uncomfortable.
That like, was the safest answer.
I know. There's nothing worse than like when you put yourself out there, you do a little salacious question that you think might go over well with the celebrity or somebody you're interviewing, and then they just literally go radio silent.
I always thought that you can ask anything that you want. It's the way that you formulate the question. And his was so bumbling and stumbling. A more beautiful, younger, clearly more talented, comes from a better line of parents than you. What is it like to watch that man? It's just the way that you ask it. It's a legit question, but it's the way you ask it.
And you have to remember, because Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban, they're both Australian, and so they probably have an affinity for Australian, for Australian radio shows. But Bert, he hit the nail on the head as far as like how the dude asked the question. He asked it so awkwardly, and the exact same thing happened to us with Coldplay frontman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris Martin.
Because we were asking questions about, somebody on the show asked a question about Gwyneth Paltrow. Or somebody asked one, he answered it, and then somebody followed up with another one, and you heard this deep sigh and this click. And we're like, no way, he just hung up on us.
And then he
like,
called back.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, the whole exchange was weird because he's like, I'm not used to answering questions. And I'm like, you're in an interview, bro.
Right?
And then he called back to sort of apologize.
Yeah, he was, well, because we had five people on the show that were asking questions. So like, so he felt he was getting peppered from all these different angles.
Yeah, right.
And it was just too much for him.
And you had it with Adam Levine.
Yeah, that was a that was different. That was just a one-on-one. Yeah. Misunderstood the assignment. Talking to him about the Billboard Music Awards and had no idea that he hadn't won any.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But he knew that.
Something about them lead band members, huh?
Yeah.
Right?
He wasn't a fan of me asking questions about the Billboard Music Awards because he already knew that he didn't win a single award.
If you were going to ask that question effectively to get Keith Urban to not disconnect from the Zoom call, how would you have phrased that?
I would say, look, if I was in your position, it would be so uncomfortable for me to watch my wife kiss anybody. Do you have any problem with that?
I probably would have had a few less beautifuls in there.
Yeah.
I think that would help.
I think the interviewer had a crush on Zac Efron.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Beautiful Zac Efron and your beautiful wife. Right? And Keith Urban with your beautiful, silky, straight hair.
The Burt Show.
This is the opposite of lose Burt's money, where I have $100 and then you guys call in, and with every incorrect answer, you guys lose $10 off of that $100. This one is just for Kristen and for Mo and for Abby, and it is a game I like to call Bet on Yourself.
It's not a good bet these days.
You guys feeling smart this morning?
No,
you're not.
Can I bet on somebody else?
Much rather bet against myself.
The level of confidence in this studio is amazing. Here's what I'm asking you guys to buy into here, okay? I'm going to give you a trivia question. And with every incorrect answer, you guys throw $5 of your own money in.
Okay.
Whoever gets the right answer at the end wins all the cash that you guys throw in. Are you ready?
Okay.
We did this before. What was the question before?
I don't know, but I won.
You did win.
I can't remember what it was. It was the which state has the most plastic surgery per capita.
Right. That's right.
And it was Utah because of Secret Lives of Mormon the Wives.
All right, you and your young brain remembering things.
I don't know where that came from.
The truth is we never remember like who the losers are, just the winners. We don't remember the name of the game, but we remember who won it.
Uh-huh.
All right, so this one we're going back to 1770, you guys. And the only reason why I know this, because I was surprised. When I was in Boston last week on vacation, my girlfriend and I decided to do that Freedom Trail in Boston. You guys know what that is?
Mm-mm.
It's like a 2.5-3 mile loop around Boston, and they have these bricks that are on the sidewalk. And as you follow the bricks, it takes you through all these historical sites in Boston. And if you're doing the audio thing, it tells you exactly what's going on, so you don't have to hang out with a whole bunch, like 9 strangers in a tour, right? So as we're working our way around this, and by the way, 2 people with ADHD doing a 2.5-hour tour, we were on that thing for 15 minutes.
I bet.
And decided we were going to do something else. But I did get this, and it surprised me, okay? So the date was March 5th, 1770, right? The Americans weren't real happy that the British were taxing them. We all know this story. Come on, you guys. This is our own country. Why are you taxing us all this cash? And then to get their cash, what does England do? They send over a whole bunch of soldiers, right? So on this particular day, there are 7 soldiers that are crowded around by all these Americans, so many Americans, and 7 soldiers. And things are starting to get pretty heated. We're not paying your taxes! And the soldiers don't know what they're going to do, right? So they start shooting rounds into the crowd, right? It has been dubbed the Boston Massacre, okay? How many people passed away in the Boston Massacre?
I did not know where this was going or where it was ending, but this is not the question I anticipated.
What a fun topic for 6 a.m.
Did you think I was going to ask, like, where did the Boston Massacre happen?
No, but just asking a question like how many people died is an odd question to be asking.
It's just American history trivia.
This is a wild game show. What is this, man?
This is never going to make it to the networks.
No, sir.
All right, so what constituted a massacre back in 1770?
Yes. How many people died? That was dubbed the Boston Massacre. Who wants to start with their $5?
For $5, I'm going to say 5.
5 people. Well, this game's over.
What? No, it's not.
Yes, 5 people.
No,
I really thought it was going to take a lot longer than that. It is now dubbed the worst game in baseball history.
That's great.
I was not banking on any of you being smart. When I saw 5 and the word massacre, I was stunned.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, it's gonna be an insanely low number.
That was literally my guess in my head. If you weren't going to say 5, I would have said 5.
I was also going to say 5.
I thought, what a silly guess.
The Burt Show.
You don't care about sports. You don't care if the Braves won last night. You don't care about who the Packers drafted. But you just might care about some of these contracts. Not only the money that athletes are getting now, but the added bonuses to their contracts also might be a real good reason why you should care about sports.
Couldn't care less about sports. Balls just ain't your thing. Don't give a fuck about trophies or no Super Bowl ring. You watch reality TV, not SportsCenter reports or most. Here to give you a reason you should care about sports.
So Cristiano Ronaldo, known to a lot as the greatest soccer player of all time, if you ask me, he's the second greatest, but that's not here nor there, has just signed a new deal, which is the most lucrative deal in the career of sports history, with a Saudi Arabian football club named Al Nassr. And
this is his second contract with them.
His second contract. Even as I'm reading it, I still can't process what this actually means in this amount of money. His deal is $700 million over 2 years.
2 years? That's it?
2 years. It's about $244 million a year. It's the highest salary for any player contract in sports history. And that's not even all of it.
What?
It actually comes with a bunch of perks and non-salary compensation.
So here's the deal. It's a Saudi Arabian league, right? And it's a Saudi Arabian team. And they're trying to get more attention to soccer to their country now. So very smartly, they think, okay, how can we start to get more players to come in Saudi Arabia? How can we get more attention on Saudi Arabia? Let's just go ahead and hire the most popular soccer player in the world to play for one of our teams, and then maybe others will come and they'll play in our league as well, which has happened over the last couple of years. So this is not only a contract for this one team. They are trying to say, like, this is going to change the face of soccer in our country. So that's why they're paying so much. But the perks are crazy.
I would hope so, because if the $700 million for 2 years wasn't enough, the deal also includes $33.6 million as a signing bonus and a 15% equity stake in the Ryder Club. He gets a $5.5 million bonus if he leads the Saudi Pro League in goals. He gets another $5.5 million in private jet credits. I didn't even know that was a thing. Huh. Yeah, who knew, right?
Yeah, you would think if you're making $270 million a year, you have your own private jet.
I can't afford it.
$244 million.
$244 million.
In credits, so is it like a punch card? You gotta like get stamped. I'm up on my private jet.
I wouldn't know. $82.4 million in sponsorship packs with the Saudi Arabian businesses and the provision of 16 full-time personal staff members.
Damn.
16 employees are said to include 3 drivers, because 2 is clearly not enough.
Yeah.
4 housekeepers, 2 chefs, 3 gardeners, and 4 security guards.
So he literally is like, you have to pay for all my expenses. Everything. You got to pay for all my expenses. I don't want to pay for my flights. I don't want to pay for people working on my lawn. Nothing. Pick it all up.
And another small bonus to round it all off. There's no income tax in Saudi Arabia.
You're kidding.
No. So to kind of wrap it up for you, someone said he's probably getting paid as much as the entire league is generating in revenue by himself.
Isn't that crazy? Here's another crazy stat also, and this was from a couple of years ago. So Saudi Arabia is a Muslim country, right? You can't live with each other you can't live together if you're not married, right? So bringing him over and paying him all this money, he was engaged at the time. I don't know how they worked this out, but initially they were saying they couldn't live together. So they were giving him all this cash and all that, but I'm like, they're like, sorry, your woman has to be down the hall.
No, I bet she was like, finally, right? I'm getting my ring. Yeah.
He was like, nope.
Getting the papers. Are they married now or no?
I am not exactly sure. Oh. I think they are.
Oh, they are. He did marry her.
Yeah. I think they are. Yeah.
That would be foul for him to go through all of that. Like, yeah, nah, I still don't want to marry her. Come on, man.
According to Wikipedia, he's not.
He's still not married. Right. Yeah, he still didn't marry her.
No. According to like the quick AI overview, no, Cristiano Ronaldo is not currently married. He is in a long-term relationship with Georgina Rodriguez, but they have not officially married. They've been together since 2016, have kids together.
And she's making her own cash also. She's a huge influence. She's got so many people following her, so she's doing really well herself, but they're still not married.
Well, but here.
So I don't know if they're living in the same place or the same.
Yeah, because I never heard that they got married. I remember that being a thing of people asking, like, why won't he just marry her at this point? But I don't think he ever did.
Yeah, I guess not.
Right. There's like AI videos of the two of them getting married, but they're not
real.
That's
all we're going to have. Yeah. Like. Yeah.
The Burt Show.
We are in the heart of 100 Days of Good Goes Round.
The Burt Show's 100 Days of Good Goes Round.
So we are doing acts of kindness for 100 days. We are willing to do just about anything. You guys just have to tell us what you need help with. And you can do that at theburtshow.com.
I had a very pet-centric holiday because when I was set to do my 2 days for 100 Days of Good Goes Round, I wanted to start out with something I knew that would be very easy and tangible that I thought that not only I could do, but it would be easy for other pet owners to do as well. So if you've ever had a cat, you know that they are constantly like fighting with you about food. Like they find one specific food that works for their digestive system and everything else gives them raging diarrhea. So I have all of this cat food at my apartment that I can't give my cats because it gives them, you know, the poops. So I was like, you know what? I have all this extra food that my cats aren't going to be able to eat. I should be able to drop it off at a shelter and, you know, give it to cats that will actually appreciate it. So I did make a physical donation to
the Atlanta Humane Society, but I also bought some things off their wish list online, which is a really easy thing to do. You can just log on to their website and then boom, 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 you make a little purchase on their website and it sends the packages immediately to the Atlanta Humane Society. So if you don't have any food at home, you can just basically purchase it online and it just gets shipped right to their door. And then I was also set to volunteer with my mom back in Jacksonville at something she does called Heartfelt Ministries, but we were in Gainesville for my dog that recently passed away due to some surgery complications. So while we were standing there, we were like, you know, how fortunate are we to be able to afford all this vet care that a lot of people would have to pull the plug on their dog immediately. So we decided to make a donation to Planned Parenthood, which does low-cost vet care here in Atlanta. I made a donation. My parents are going to make a separate donation somewhere else, but we wanted to be able to provide some kind of services for people who wouldn't be able to afford it. Kristen, you also did some stuff over the week.
We're going to keep it in the pet theme. So because I lost my sweet old man, Leroy, after 17 years, always make donations to where we adopted him back in Raleigh, North Carolina. So Second Chance Pet Adoptions and memory of Leroy made a donation there. Cass?
I picked up trash in Fort William State Park in Maine to help keep our parks beautiful. I also gave money to an unhoused person because I know there are programs in place, but I also believe not everyone can take advantage of those programs or doesn't know how. So I try and help people out when I can, when I see them asking. And then I made a donation to the Children's Miracle Network, which donates to local hospitals. They've donated something like $9 billion to 170 children's hospitals to help those hospitals fund critical care for kids in need. And then I'm not the only one. Tommy, what you did?
So July 4th last year, I went over to our friends Ben and Nancy. They live in Cambridge Preserve in Marietta. And their neighborhood, their neighbor puts on this big fireworks show. And last year, we just kind of watched across the street. And I made a promise last year, hey, I will provide music next year if you guys do this again. So Julie and Mondo across the street from my friends Ben and Nancy have this it rivals any fireworks show that you would go see. And this is in a neighborhood. So I put together a patriotic playlist, and this thing lasted forever. I mean, it was probably 90 minutes of fireworks.
Dang.
And I think I played every patriotic song that there was. And Mikey, he is in Arkansas, vacationing somewhere in a pond. Mikey also paid it forward in a drive-thru. He was at McDonald's the other day, and he paid for somebody's Big Mac meal behind him and got to pay it forward started. Over to you, Mo.
So I was spending time with my lady's dog, Foxy, over a weekend. I realized at that moment that was something that I felt like I was missing in my life. And so I told her, I really believe I'm ready to have my own dog. And I wasn't exactly sure where to start. And so she knew a lot of people who ever got a dog from the Atlanta Humane Society. So she gave me the idea to just donate and donate on behalf of Caesar, our fallen family dog. And maybe that will guide me in which direction to go in. And so I gladly did that. And that was my good deed. Amber.
Well, I decided to go ahead and write some inspirational letters to people, random people in the office and in the streets, to just kind of give them a better idea of things. And I also decided to give blood with my dad and with Life Self, and gave I think more than a pint because I passed out.
Did you really?
Yes. I didn't do it right, but I did do a good deed, even though it never goes unpunished. Back to you, Bert.
I think it's now Rebecca, right?
Yes, so for today, you guys know I battled tongue cancer, and I was immediately directed to Emory Winship Cancer Institute for treatment, and every day I am so grateful that that is where I was sent, because I truly believe that they saved my life. I've had months and months of clear scans now, and if you're the praying type and you're listening, please pray that I continue to get clear scans until I am officially deemed cancer-free. I could not have done it without the incredible people at Emory Winship Cancer Institute. And this year, they are having their Winship Cancer Institute 5K on October 4th, and I'm going to run it in person. And if you're listening, I would love for you to join me. And I was thinking to myself, how can I illustrate how much these people really, really helped me? I was thinking, what stories do I have of during treatment, of what I went through, of how people were there for me, how the facility took care of me. And then last week, while I was driving to the airport, I was listening to the radio and I heard a segment play. It was an old segment and it was one that I was on. And just the way that my speech has changed mm-hmm. in literally a year mm-hmm. is insane. And I wanted to play just a little snippet of what my speech sounded like only a year ago, just going after surgery, radiation, and chemo.
Yep, my radiation mask, who I call Barb. It's just an easy name for me to say. I need help figuring out how to absolutely destroy her because I couldn't think of anything really good.
And that was pretty good, actually.
Yeah. It wasn't bad.
It honestly wasn't that bad. But you guys were, first of all, so nice to let me back on when I sounded like that. That's crazy. But when I heard that, it just made me realize how far I have come, not just with my speech clarity, which I have had 1/4 of my tongue resected and reconstructed. It's insane that I sound this good. Mm-hmm. And it's only because of the people that worked with me and took care of me at Emory Winship Cancer Institute. So I really want to support them in the way that they supported me. So if anyone listening would consider running, joining my team. You don't have to run. You could just donate. I started a team. I posted the link on the Burt Show socials, and there's a link at theburtshow.com/run. I'll be running in person that day. I'd love to see you out there.
Do we have a unique team name?
Team Rebecca.
No. Oh. We need a better one. Hey,
look just at that. It's Rebecca. Called a 1-second brainstorm. All right. Again, where they can go and get all the info.
Okay. So the race is October 4th. The links are all out on the Burt Show's social pages, and theburtshow.com/run has the link where you can either donate or you can join Team Rebecca.
How can we help you? You just got to tell us how at theburtshow.com.
Hey, The Burt Show.
So you got away with it all these years, but now you're going to call and you're going to confess that when you're a babysitter, blank happened. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, 1-855-237-8746.
So this babysitter got fired because of what happened. And I'm going to let you guys listen to her tell the story and you decide if you were the parent, would you deem it just a misunderstanding? It was the intentions were pure. It just it just didn't hit right. Okay. All right. So this is Luisa Melcher on Instagram, and here's the reason why she got fired from her babysitting job.
I just got fired from my nanny job, and I'm actually kind of traumatized right now. The kids a few weeks ago started asking me to sprinkle pixie dust on them from this jar in their living room, and I thought it was just like a cute game that their mom came up with, and it worked really well as an incentive, so I was constantly being like, you know, pick up your toys and I'll sprinkle pixie dust on you, and they loved it, okay? They loved it a lot. We are out of pixie dust as of today, and so I went to their mom, and I was like, hey, we're out of pixie dust, like, would you mind picking some up at the store? And she's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, pixie dust? And I go and I show her where we've been getting the pixie dust. And I have never seen a woman go more pale in my life. The pixie dust was her late father.
Oh!
And when she had brought the urn home, she had told the kids, don't touch this because it's full of pixie dust. And if you touch it, it'll spill. And she thought that would make them not want to touch it. And so she was furious at me, and I'm trying to justify myself being like, you know, imaginative play is so important in development, and she's like, yeah, but you sprinkled my dad on my kid.
Oh, like, damn.
I did.
That's wild.
Oh, my God.
Wild. I don't know that that can be beat.
I don't think it can be beat.
Oh, my
either.
God.
But yeah, so the mom, in order to get the kids not to touch her father's urn, which makes total sense, she's like, it's pixie dust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how's she going to know?
Right.
How's she going to know? Maybe Grandpa wanted to be with his grandkids forever.
On him? Oh, no.
Imagine for how long you're sitting there. I mean, that's a healthy amount of ashes, right? And so every day she's sprinkling
wow.
ashes on the cake.
How old was she, the babysitter?
She was in her early 20s.
Okay.
She looked to be in her early 20s as she's walking down the street telling the story that she got fired from her nanny job because, you know, she was sprinkling ashes on the kids.
Yeah, I thought if it's a teenager, this is one of the reasons why I never. I was so hardcore about this. And this is, it was always a conversation between me and my ex because I said I refuse to have teenagers in the house watching our kids. Absolutely not. Even though I know 3/4 of America does it, I just didn't trust it. So we never hired teens. And that would be the reason why, except she's in her
20s. Yeah, she definitely was not a teenager. She was in her 20s. So, I mean, and, you know, I was a babysitter back in the day, and that was, like, the way I first earned money or whatever. And
earned money.
Yeah, stop.
I see.
That's diabolical. but, yeah, my story honestly pales in comparison to that.
Which is what?
Well, I was just, I don't even remember how I knew this family, but I was at their house and she was gone and I was babysitting the kids and he had one of those tiny little slides that you go down and he fell off the top of it and hit his head and got a goose egg and I just did not tell her.
I'd take that story over to Pixie Dust all day long.
You should have told that one first.
I know.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
It's the number one show on streaming services right now. If you are not watching it, you need to be because we have to talk about Love Island.
You guys have screwed me with this show.
What do you mean we've screwed you?
Screwed me with this show. Because I watched it because you young folk, that's what you've been watching, right? It's number one in the ratings right now. You sucked me in to watch one episode of it. And then I realized, look, I'm just too old to be watching a show like this. There's got to be other things going on in my life. So I told myself, that's it. Cutting myself off. I'm not giving one second to this show. And since I've done that, it feels like my algorithm is just filled with drama from the show. And I want to start watching, but I haven't. So I've been actually asking these guys, please bring it up on the show. Because I got questions. Because I'm not going to watch.
This season has generated a lot of buzz. And for not so good reasons. For some very controversial reasons. But also people are just really disappointed in the lack of connections. Because it is Love Island. And a lot of people are watching the connections being made this season and going, is it situational? Relationship Island this year because no one really seems to be falling in love. And despite the fact that it is the trashiest show on TV, a lot of people really do find people that they spend the next 6 months with after they get off the show or even get married to.
What did you say to me off the air that it's not a great season, but it's a good season for what?
It is a terrible season of Love Island because, it is Situationship Island. It's barely that. It's kind of Friendship Island. It's Backstabbing Island for sure.
Oh, for sure.
If it was UK, people would be married by now. At this point, couples don't even like each other, which is very sad. But it's been such a good season of reality TV because it's been so back and forth and the contestants have been very wild and sometimes very problematic.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like every day there is another headline in my algorithm saying somebody just got kicked out for doing this or that or this drama or that drama. Something's going on in that show.
So two people have already been kicked off the island. Two islanders are now out of the villa. So I decided to pull social media producer Rebecca for a chat so she could fill us in on the drama going in the villa.
If I had a nickel for every time a Love Islander was unceremoniously kicked off of the island for using a racial slur, I would have two nickels, which doesn't seem like a lot, but
it is weird that it happened twice.
Yes, yes, girl. So two islanders from this one season have now been kicked off because fans looked into their social media footprint and found some problematic language from them. So
you would think that when you're selected for a show like that, you would do a deep dive, right, into everything you've posted since you were 15 years old.
I think the thing is they don't realize that they did anything wrong until they get to the show and the producers tap them awake and tell them that they got to go. So first, it was Ulyssa, and she was not even on the island for 48 hours before fans found podcast footage of her saying racial slurs, and she was saying them very loud and proud. So she was dumped quite quickly, and no one was very upset. So this this very recent dumping was Sierra, who was sort of a fan favorite. She was in one of the strongest relationships on the island. Actually, her and her couple, Nick, had just closed off, which is they were the only ones.
It's basically like getting engaged in the villa.
Yes. So I think it was about a week ago, a couple posts from her had resurfaced online. It was her using a racial slur that is used to victimize Asian people. And she had posted it. And it seems like she had posted once in 2015 a caption on Instagram using the slur. And then once again in 2024 with a story using the same slur. And screenshots also show that people reached out to her and told her that it was problematic. And she kind of doubled down. So everyone was wondering, are they going to kick Sierra off of the island? Because they had set a precedent with Ulyssa. Ulyssa got bumped. What was going to happen with Sierra? So everyone tuned in on Sunday and knew either she's going to be there and she's going to be there for the rest of the time there because we don't have much time left, or Ian Sterling, the announcer, who I am in love with, was going to say, Sierra has been kicked off the island for personal reasons. And that's what we heard on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
One line and she's gone.
Okay.
My jaw dropped when I saw the episode on Sunday because, again, I can't even... we've been talking about how this is Situationship Island. This is the only, like, viable couple at this point that's going to come out of this villa is Nick and Sierra. And the fact that she is now gone and seeing the tears well up in his eyes, it was cinema.
Is Nick the guy that was spreading the herp through the entire villa?
Yes. Okay. Allegedly, because I watched After Sun, which is like the after show, allegedly it wasn't the herp. Charlie hit him in the face with a football or something. So apparently it wasn't cold sores.
Right. Hey, how good looking do you have to have that herp on your lip and go, yeah, it's something else? And all the ladies are like, okay. Yeah. It's a football. Okay.
It certainly hasn't stopped the women from making out with Nick. But it is very interesting to see how this the season is going to play out, because now he has to pair up with Alandria, who everyone is really shipping him with. They're like, oh my gosh, like this is the perfect couple. But I don't think Alandria likes this man.
Yeah, what? Are you crazy?
I don't think she likes him.
I mean, this is insane. Nick doesn't seem too disappointed because he immediately coupled up with Sierra's best friend. I honestly think they could win it because people have been shipping Nick Alandria for a long time.
I will say last night's episode made me think that maybe there's a little bit of romantic hope, but I think we have to wait and see.
I want to thank you guys for watching this show. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
So I don't have to.
It's an honor.
Hey, The Bird Show.